as I say that I'm a dramatist, I'm not really expert in computer at all. As most people may know, I don't, besides email, I don't know how to touch computer. I don't even know how to go to the internet. But on other hand, it's occasionally interesting to apply ideas of geometry to the real world. Following my friend Olsen, who applied pure mathematics to applied mathematics so well, but I'm not expert still. Here, there are a large group of people working on the computer and also providing ideas, providing real data, and all that. So, so David Gu, at the very beginning, when we started in the early 2001 on the whole thing, about using conformal structure to understand some services. And then Yanni Wen, John, and later we collaborate with Tony Chen, and also Paul Thompson, who provide many important ideas and also the data, most importantly. Otherwise, we are dealing with empty data. So then, of course, a group of UCLA people has been helping a lot. So basically, we are interested in applying geometry to surfaces, which we try to represent, including the brain and many other things, or the face. So we use conformal parameterization, and we use holomorphic flow segmentation. Basically, we are doing holomorphic one forms. And so basically, we are trying to understand surfaces under conformity group. And that's Felix Klein's famous program. And we want to construct some structure over the surfaces. One important structure is conformal structure. But there are some others which we have not fully used those structures yet. So the computation really depends on understanding how to construct this structure. So basically, we have a surface, could be complicated, but we try to draw local errors and try to cut it to many pieces, and then we want to put it back together. Conformal structure is a very important structure because it gives a very detailed understanding of the geometry of the surface. It's like a God-given structure because only in two-dimensional surface we have such a beautiful structure, not in high dimension. We can use a conformal structure to simplify a lot of equations on the surfaces, which looks complicated if we don't use the conformal structure. So you can do heat diffusion, you can do magnetic field, several important things over there. Now, all depends on how to classify conformal structure over surfaces. Some of this depend on algebraic geometry, and some of them are still not well understood, in fact. So for those who does not want to get too much into mathematics, let's just say, so a conformal map simply, it maps from one surface to another surface. Each surface has naturally a metric structure, which is given by Gij. Conformal mapping means it preserves angle. And in terms of the metric tensor, it means it multiplies the metric by a conformal factor, lambda. So here's an example, you map the brain onto the sphere conformally. So basically what it amounts to is like the map of the group where you have the standard map where you map on a square, but you use a conformal map, mapping to a cylinder and cut the cylinder open and you get a map. Here we want to map the brain on the sphere, and then the right-hand side is the grid that comes from the sphere, as you can see. So this important thing is that you preserve the angle. The perpendicularity was preserved. And this gives rise a lot of interesting way to try to understand the brain. And importantly, this map is basically unique. You need up to a finite dimensional group called the Möbius transformation, conformal group of the sphere. So this gives rise a canonical way to present a surface in free space for you. So basically, what happens is that you give a mapping so that the metric eventually looks like the Euclidean metric up to a conformal factor lambda. So these are very important to describe a surface because it gives a canonical way to present a surface to you. So these are mappings, I mean the control structure you can draw on every figure. And you can see they are quite nice present. But of course there are a lot of detail to make sure the grids could be large, could be small. This is a dependent conformal factor. These are some segmentation which we'll discuss, how you divide the surface into several regions, which is important for us when we do the moving pictures to get a better way of handling the surfaces. So the important property of conformal mapping is that they are pretty stable object. And this is very important because if the representation is unstable, no matter how great it is, it's useless. Here's a good interesting thing. You see, this is the same face, and one use more triangulation, one use less triangulation. And we map it onto the circle. And you can see that this represents the face quite well. And this, even though there are less triangle, is still basically not far away from this picture. So less triangle is approximating to the one with more triangles. So eventually it will be much more dense. So this of course depends on some important theorems eventually. There's a great famous theorem due to Charles Morley, which says that any metric, as far as the coefficients are uniformly bounded or uniformly elliptic, you can conformally map to the one with constant curvature where the mapping is polar continuous, depending only on the ellipticity. This is a fundamental theorem in mathematics, especially in partial differential equation, which underlies the reason why this is good. Because it depends only on the rough structure of the metric. Now this theorem usually was attributed to Alfors and Bess, but it's really due to Morley. I emphasize this because Morley was my teacher, and also the theorem was done 10 years before Bess and Alfors. These are the conformal maps, you can see, back on the surface. So I map the sphere back into the surface. Now there are two points which is up to your choice. That's the ambiguity of the Möbius transformation. Möbius transformation can move the north pole and the south pole around, and you draw the latitude and all that in a different manner, depending on how you choose the north pole and south pole. This ambiguity is actually a blessing in a way, because you can blow up the pictures when the numerical factors here are small. This is important for the calculation because when you want to see some part of the figure in much more detail, you expand that in great detail without changing the conformal structure. So that's useful fact. But of course, whenever there's a plus, there's also negative because you have to make a good choice of the conformal automorphism. And this in the case of negative curvature, you map to a surface with constant negative curvature. This is called a Poincaré disk, and this is an artist way of drawing the figure. So this is for high genius. The picture that we have for the sphere is for genius zero. But on the other hand, surfaces could have high topology, and you have no choice but go to the constant negative curvature. So there are several ways that we consider how to construct numerically, how to write down the map. One, the first one is the first calculator we use using harmonic energy minimization. There are people using servo packing, use some other way to do it before us, but the convergence is very slow. It's not as stable as the one that we are using here. And so this first one is minimizing the harmonic map. The second one is using common one forms, protocol one forms. And the third one is using the deformation of the metric using Ricci flow. Of course, in the case of 2W Ricci flow, it's also called Yamabe flow, and they are useful. And this gives rise a good calculation in the case of surface with boundary. This is a surface boundary. There are many simple questions we could not answer in even in pure mathematics. For example, I asked my great colleague Peter Jones about how to move these circles around by quasi-conformal maps once you get to this canonical domain. And that doesn't seem to be known. And it would be nice to solve some of these questions. So that even in pure mathematics, as motivated by this calculation, quite a lot of interesting questions has to be answered. So these are the important features of the plane conformal map. We map it one-to-one onto the sphere, the preserved angle. Everything is preserved except the conformal factor. That conformal factor is called scaling factor. And this scaling factor can be changed according to the Mobius transformation, as I said. Now when it comes to surface, the boundary is more complicated, but we shall discuss it later. So we shall say a few things more about it. Okay, so for genus zero, so it is no handle, no holes. We use the minimized harmonic energy, and we compute the map using the covariant differentiation, and we project it to the complex plane. So there are some, as I said, there are some other discussions by circle packing method, and also by some method by Hacker, who has some problem about distortion near the normal. Here we were able to solve it without that problem. So the idea that was done about 6 years ago, even surface like brain in free space. There's a Gauss map. So the Gauss map is a map mapping the surface onto the sphere, which moves the normal of the surface to the sphere. And so it's an important map. And this map is degree one, unless the surface is all screwed up, intersecting itself. But in general, there's a degree one map as an initial data. And then we move this map using the heat flow or harmonic map, which we know should be good, and we're minimizing. We have to calculate all this gradient vector and do the calculation, projecting it back to the tangential part. So each time when we do this, we have to shift the center of mass to the center of the sphere to make the map converge. So these are the details that has been carried out. Here's a work out with David Gu about 6 years ago. So for example, this is the brain, and you can move it to the sphere. You do the calculation, namely the Gauss map, which is the map, the normal of the thing, and you move it to the sphere, and then you try to deform this map gradually using harmonic map flow to the map in the sphere. So you map it to a straggle picture. And this allows you to identify surfaces like the brain to different way. So here was a picture that we did before. And this is another brain where you can move to the sphere, parameterized by the sphere. So the grids are moving accordingly. And then there's a Mobius transformation action. So for example, for some part you want to see with much more detail, you blow it up and squeeze the other guys down to the other part, and you can see much more detail. So that's the advantage of the Mobius transformation. Give you more information about parts which you'd like to understand. So once you map two planes on a sphere, on a sphere you can compare them. And this is a good thing to compare because these maps are rather canonical. Canonical after Mobius transformation. So when you compare these two planes, you have to mod out the Möbius group, which you can do. It's a finite dimensional vertical principle. You map the survey to here, compose with the Möbius map, Möbius on awesome, and you minimize the L2 knob and see what you get as the best. So you can compare two planes in that way. And you can also do some spherical harmonic analysis naturally, because you have defined a sphere, you can use spherical harmonic to approximate all the density function, and you can use that to help you out. So you can use that to do data analysis and also suppress some of the data that I'm looking at. Now, so that's something called landmark. We want to try to understand some parts that, so these are the points we are interested in, these are points we are interested in. We map the sphere, and we try to define distance between the landmark. We want to match this landmark together and try to compare the planes with the landmark as a marking that we want to match. So these are points in different surfaces. We define energy between them, and you can define landmark matching energy. And then you use a Möbius transformation, which was ambiguity, as I mentioned earlier, to minimize this landmark energy. So this will give rise a way to map the two things together. So these are the landmarks with the blue things, and you can see how they connect together by new platform map minimizing the Möbius transformation. Okay. So the second model is you originally there was only harmonic map energy. You add the landmark energy, and then you can use quantitative analysis and see how well the geometry is preserved by minimizing this combined energy. And this this is a method used by Yannick and to approximate it by averaging. So the result is that those using this argument this part can preserve well. You can see the picture much better. Those parts you don't use this method does not preserve as well. There's no landmark label. So you put some landmark there and you try to match it and minimize the energy. So this becomes a pretty good for this picture. So we add the landmark energy in the case there are some extra points that we want to add on. But there's some other arguments we also use later. So this is the spherical harmonic to approximate things. So the data, original data, was on a sphere, and you represent it in terms of spherical harmonics. And if you have enough spherical harmonic, then you get a better spin shape. But then you simplify it less and less, you get down to such a rough picture, actually. So you can expand the whole thing for comparison of data. This is same here. The surface you can reconstruct from spherical harmonics also. So this data can be gradually approximated by spherical harmonics. So now we'll try to go to a much more tough case, and this is the case of volumetric harmonic map. Surface is like what given thing to use harmonic map, conformal map, because it's intrinsically attached to the two-dimensional geometry. Three-dimensional geometry is far, far more complicated. So you can still minimize an energy in harmonic map. you can of course use all kind of method to try to compare two three-dimensional manifold, but they are intrinsically not good because they are not attached to the geometry as much as two-dimensional. In general, harmonic map exists in most cases, in many cases that we are dealing with, but they are not one-to-one. And it's almost impossible to prove things are one-to-one because it's not true in general. But on the other hand, when the object that we are going to discuss is not far away from the standard Conrad situation, then you expect the harmonic map to be good, to be diffeomorphic. But this is a very subtle problem, and there's no theorem that we know which can prove such a statement. So once you use it with great great care has to be taken on to understanding such a map. But anyway, it can be done. And so now here we are doing volumetric. So here are the slides that are given to you. Original slides that are given by Paul Thompson's group. So this slides of the plane. There are about 100 slides, right, of the plane of this sort. So you can see from a pure mathematician point of view, this looks a disaster, just where a lot of corners and all that. So based on these 100 slides, we were able to reconstruct the plane. So you see, you take slides and the picture will come out to be very similar. So this is a method that we devised a few years ago. We used something called sphere carving method, which I learned from topology. You try to collapse things. This is a collapsing process. And simplex, collapsing simplexes. So the good thing is this method is that you preserve topology. There's the surface is still S2. All that looks complicated. So this is from the raw data we construct these two surfaces, which is kind of interesting because I didn't realize that for such a complicated surface, we can still do a reasonable good job. For many other arguments, you will see the surface crossing each other, and it's not quite, you don't quite get a sphere. But here we make sure you get a sphere at the end. So that's pretty good. And now, after getting this three-dimensional object in the interior plane, this is the one that we got from this, what we call carving method. And then we try to map to this ball, the interior ball. So the surface of the boundary by our original control map can map onto the surface of the sphere. So the boundary is okay. But what about the interior? We can construct the harmonic map with this as a boundary value on the surface and then extend it within as a harmonic map. This can be calculated easily, and I won't say easily, I never do the calculation as I mentioned to you. So you get the triangulation in the interior. And you therefore can prove out this triangulation into here. But you can see it's far more complicated. And so what do we do? As I said, this map is a harmonic map. We cannot guarantee that it is one-to-one. If the map is not one-to-one, maybe you can still do something like the level set approach, the level sets of this map and all that. But it's causing each other, causing a lot of trouble. Not like the two-dimensional surface, we know they do not cross. So we have to figure out a new method to do this. But what we know is that we are good on surface, two-dimensional surface. So we try to reduce it back to two-dimensional surface. So this proposes another argument. We use eigenfunctions. So what is attached to the three-dimensional manifold? There's a Laplace-Belchomy operator. So in the case of the plane, for example, it bounds a domain. In the interior domain, there's a standard Laplace operator. And I want to look at the eigenfunctions associated to this operator. And this iron function, in a way, is also God-given object for you, especially the first iron function. We look at the level set defined by the iron function, and you step out a canonically a bunch of two-dimensional surfaces. And this gives you a good understanding of the intrinsic geometry of the manifold itself. And each two-dimensional surface, which are the level set of the eigenfunction, we can do the parametrization that we use. And this gives you a reasonable canonical understanding decomposition of the domain in the interior by using the eigenfunction. Now this calculation is possible, but not trivial, because now you're doing a three-dimensional calculation, and you have to calculate the eigenfunction. There are many methods to calculate eigenfunctions, especially the first eigenfunction. So eigenfunction foliation, we foliate it according to the level set of the eigenfunction. And for the domains which is not too far from the ball, the level set is always a connect set, and that's good. And nothing really changed too much. But in the case of the things which is far away from being this convex, then these things are quite complicated. And actually, the study of the level set of the eigenfunction is probably one of the most fascinating subjects to me. And it's not known, actually. I asked for the last 10 years to find a critical part of eigenfunctions, according to eigenvalue behavior. Nobody can answer those questions effectively. So there are many questions we can ask, and some of them can be solved, but most of them cannot. So we set the level sets in a different way. We try to move around, and some of this create eigen singularities. Okay, level sets just give eigen singularities if topology is complete. Anyway, we do this for some of the organs, and we look at the eigenfunctions, the level set. These are the level set when it shrinks for the first eigenfunction of this. So for some nice domain like this, this method works well. Okay. For very complicated domains, that's a different method. And so you can see the inside how the things move around. So now we go to case where the topology has a change. So high genius. This is a rather interesting subject. We try to separate the even when the surface is genius zero, but most of them are not genius zero, we want to use some way to construct high genius surface. How to construct high genius surface? I won't say high genius, or more complicated topology. You can puncture points in the surface, and then you get different conformal structure. Here, David has a genius one here because it's a handle, because he's holding himself. You can construct for more one forms on the surface. We do a calculation, construct for more one forms. And the seal set of the whole more one form are useful. And we use it to decompose the surface into many regions. And this decomposition, we call segmentation, has been very useful. We map it to a parallelogram like these strips, and we can use it to do all kind of calculations. So we construct the homomorphic one form, which is global. And when the function is equal to zero, it has this kind of picture, which many people working in complex analysis could recognize. These are actually very important points, useful points that we discuss. By the way, this is a picture that appears in New York Times in one of the paper. I mean, one of the essays. They like this picture because they found it very interesting. So what we do is that we construct holomorph one forms, and the level set of the holomorph one form give rise to orthogonal trajectories. They are orthogonal to each other. So this gives you an exhibition of the conformal structure on the surface. So then, when the topology is not trivial, it has to have some points that are seals of the one form that has to appear. In a way, that's a blessing, although it looks bad, because these points are special to the surface. And so it's useful to understand them. The pain is the points are actually beautiful. You see the points. So you found those points, you can identify these points to be a special feature of your figure. And we cut the surface according to these seals, partition the surface in cylinders, and then each of these can be mapped to a parallelogram by integrate along the one form. Okay? So that's how we cut the surface into pieces. And these are cutting is very good because it's conformal and it's adapt to the surface in a reasonable canonical manner. Holomorphic one forms are not unique, but they are finite dimensional, so it's pretty good. So that's an example of genus free case, and you cut the surface according to the thing, and then you cut the surface into several pieces like this. So these are good way to cut surfaces, not random. We cut it according to the conformal structure attached to the genus B surface. And then we make it to move. See, for example, here, you want to play games, you want to make this animal to move, and you can cut it into pieces and make the surface move accordingly. So we did that. We call it holomorphic segmentation. So this is the case of the picture where you see we cut it and this is moving according to the segmentation. So you see the cutting is according, you can see the cutting around here. So this one and this one are the initial phase and the final phase was given. And the in between was the calculation that we get. So we join this surface to this surface according to the segmentation cutting. So you can move surface according to that. So and you can also use a morphing with this classes, these are surfaces that you see. You morph from one to another. There's three of them, you morph around. And the reason you morph better than these are automatically done, not using hand. So the reason you can do it better is because you map all surface in the same sphere with the same conformal structure. So the conformal structure is fixed, and you only morph the scaling, change the scaling. That's why this whole thing goes very smoothly from one to another, as you can see. So this is done completely automatically, not by hand. Okay. Well, we can do the same thing for more complicated objects. We compare it when we use rectangle as a cutting, because some of the surfaces are intrinsically more complicated in some part and less complicated in other part. The segmentation allows you to cut the surface in a natural manner conformally, and then you can simplify it. So this is the calculation we did for the brain. And you see, these are corners and all this. These are rather complicated thing. And we cut in the same way to get a good parameterization, conformal parameterization. So although there are sharp angles and all that, which cause calculation difficulty, after cutting, using the points, we cut down some points there, and then we do the segmentation and come up with a very nice calculation. And so we can use this one to identify all these complicated objects. So as you see, we use the holomorphic segmentation. We cut it into six pieces, and we can compare them. And each of them conformally map to a rectangle. So landmarks. So there are some important parts which we want to draw the surgeon or whoever want to consider some part of the brain is important. You draw some lines on the surface and then you want to preserve it when you compare them. So what we do is the following. We cut open the surface, the landmark on the brain, and we look at the component of this landmark to be a conformal domain and map it onto the boundary. And then we try to compare, so it is a group, and we try to compare the leftover domain. So the comparison is still a conformal transformation, except it now it depends on the choice of the landmark. If the landmark was chosen in a complicated manner, the conformal map would be more complicated. So we basically now looking at Riemann surface boundary and compare the regions. And so this gives rise a way to mapping and map from here to here, mapping the landmark to landmark, and conformally on the complement of the landmark. So that's what we did. So we map, depends how we do it, how we blow up which point. So we map David's head into this region. And so we match surfaces, as you see, you can match them using conformal transformation. So the good thing about is you can draw automatically on the surface rather accurately. So this on a 3D show up, you draw it on a 2D plane, and you can draw a picture on the surface of the plane whenever you want to. So that's kind of easy from our method, because we map on conformally on the plane, and we know our plane how it works. So we simply draw figures on the plane. So these are the surfaces where the landmark is mapping onto the circle. So these are things that we like to do, but as I said, after we map to here, we still want to compare surfaces with circles missing, and we want to compare these kind of domains, mapping a domain like this to another domain with circle missing. They are not conformal, they cannot be conformal to each other. And you have used quasi-conformal map to map them together. A canonical quasi-conformal map has not been found, not even numerically. That's why I keep on asking Peter Jones for the last 3 months. We still have not come up with an answer.
Sorry.
And somehow he has asked many experts also. So that's not a trivial problem. So, sometimes, of course, we can represent Riemann surface by algebraic functions. These are rather interesting questions, actually. We have a great idea in classically for the last 200 years about algebraic curve. We can represent it by holomorphic one form and then calculate period, the integral of the one form on some closed cycle. And we know something called Taurer theorem says that such period determines the Riemann surface. They are all beautiful theorems. But in the subject here, we like to see it. So I give it a period, I want to find the Riemann surface. And holomorphically, you would be able to probably, you would be able to write it down as a polynomial function defined on the huge and a large complex projective space, CP3. But I want to look at it in R3, I want to see it. This, I think, is a rather interesting problem and has not been touched by any pure mathematicians. So, the moduli space of Riemann surfaces, can you represent it in R3 in a reasonable canonical way so that you can see how it looks like? for even a closed service. In fact, for a very simple question like the toroid, we know how to represent the square toroid or the rectangular toroid by using surface rotation. But for a skewed toroid, how to represent it in our field as a nice object, I don't know how to do it. And it would be very nice to find such a thing. But here, I map it into the disk with some circle missing. And so this boundary is within the disk. So that's how we get this canonical domain. So this is a canonical domain. That's because we are doing a genus zero. So the third idea we use is Ritchie flow. This Ritchie flow is an interesting flow in two dimensions. You may be called Yamabe flow. But the whole thing is really go back to Poincaré in this form, this 1900. So we want to solve this equation. And then you want to map the surface into this corresponding curvature equals zero, so map the planar domain. So you want to solve this equation. And this equation can be solved. And the first one was an important idea that the flow always, you put a du over dt here, the flow can always be proved to be non-singular in the case of two dimensions, and it converges to one, which is good. So this was proved by Hamilton with improvement by several students of mine. And there are many ways to do this, to discuss about this, use circle map, circle packing, and some variational principle. But you can just do it directly. And so the idea is how to discretize this whole thing. And the curvature set by this Gauss-Bonnet formula, and the geodesic curvature can be calculated using conformal geometry. And you do a very little principle, and you find this is a gradient map according to that. So you discretize it according to that. And you try to do the calculation using circle packing metric, and you define the Lij, and you discretize everything according to it. So this is the formula to for the Gauss curvature and the geodesic curvature on the boundary. So you use this to do the motion. You move the geometry by the Gauss curvature. And this turns out to be good. And we can prove that it converges a nice object, which realizes the domain. So as you see, there are two landmarks here in this case. One landmark is mapped to the outer circle. The inner, another one is mapped to the inner circle. And the same thing here, so I get two annulus. And of course, two annulus can always be moved one to another one, that's easy. And you can match therefore this to here conformally, as a result, conformally from here to here, mapping the landmark to the landmark. Okay? And so you can do the same thing as we just mentioned, so more holes, four holes here. You can do more holes, and then you can match the landmark together. So the four landmarks you can do. So all these pictures that we compute, and you can see how the frame moves accordingly. So you can morph the surface as a result. Once you know how to match things in the right way, in a nice way, especially conformally, you can morph them together. So you can keep track of how the brain moves and how to compare a normal brain with a more sick, irregular brain. And you can compare them. Now, conformal map helps to solve differential equations on the surface, on the surface in free space. The reason is that, for example, in our Navier-Stokes equation, Laplacian term becomes quite nice after you flatten it on the plane. You don't have to do it in our field. You can use the conformal parametrization to understand the surface, and you can do the calculation on the two-dimensional surface with a conformal flatten, and you map it back to the surface, so you can calculate the fluids on the surface using the conformal map. And it's important, this is a global parametrization, so it gives you exactly what's going on. So these are the calculations, which I don't think you want to go into too much detail into that. So he mapped the surface, the differential equation on a complicated surface to a two-dimensional surface where you can see how things look like. So you can calculate, for example, now it's Stokes equation on a two-dimensional surface and see how the fluid moves, and some of this was calculated. And so anyway, so you see how the fluid comes down. So this just using the control method to calculate. We have not spent a lot of time on doing this calculation, but it just demonstrates that it's convenient to use the control problem transition to do this calculation. And this is another calculation using the method of control problem transition to do segmentation on the surface. So on a bundle, you have something you want to set. Do a segmentation. You can use this method, mapping on the standard surface, and do the PDE there and do the calculation. So these are the applications. And so this is another example to do the segmentation. So maybe there's another better method, but as far as we are concerned, parameterize it by control method. Makes the angle and all that to be very good because it is preserved. The only thing you change is the scale factor. But of course, one has to be a little bit careful. In the case of the plane, for example, the scaling factor could fluctuate a lot. The reason is because the plane is a complicated object. The conformal factor could be close to 1 in some places and could be very close to 0. So this is cause some calculation problem. It's not really a problem. What it means is that you have to keep on using Mobius transformation to update your conformal factor. So whenever you see a conformal factor to very close to 0, you regularize it by using Mobius transformation to make it to be close to 1 and do the calculation there and then come back to the original one. So it's not that bad, but you have to be careful. So for example, we calculate the curvature of the plane. And this is actually quite good. This matches the thing. The thing that has sharp spine is because of exactly the problem that I just mentioned. That means in some places the conformal factor is very close to 0. 0.0002, and then the calculation would be bad. So what it means that on those points we need to use the Mobius transformation to move it back to constant 1. These are the part where it's close to constant 1. So this gives you a very nice calculation for the curvature, which is not so easy to do because the plane is rather complicated. And we can also use the same method to calculate the mean curvature of the surface. With the mean curvature and the Gauss curvature and the conformal factor, we can actually reconstruct the surface. So we can do the calculation of these things so that we can capture all the information that we need about the surface. And then we can match them to do registration to do identify the surface. So we don't lose any information by doing this calculation. That's an important thing. So this is a calculation of the surface of the human face, this face. This is an actual person. And we do the calculation of the curvature of the surface. Yeah, see, you see, this is much better because the conformal factor is close to 1 in this case. The face, although it's complicated, interesting, but it's not as bad as the plane. So the conformal factor is good. So this is a calculation of curvature, and this comes out to be nice. So this is a good calculation, and you can use it for face recognition because the Gauss curvature is rather intrinsic to the data. And we have not done show you more some other pictures that we could do, doing how face could move and how mean curvature can be calculated to use to help all this. So I will stop here since Peter wants me to stop.